My wife gave me a lecture this week that was so beautiful. She gave me a lecture about nobody better think that miracles don't happen after what happened here last Sunday. And I agree with her. Here at Second Congregational, we might not be 1,000, we might not be 100, but God is in this house, I believe it, with all that I am, and we have miracles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for those in attendance, Father. I pray just like last week, we receive blessings. Today we receive a message that changes us again and lifts us up to higher places. In Jesus' name, I pray. God is good, amen?
Amen.
He really is. You got to start believing. You got to start trusting in God, you know. He's with you every day. How many know that God is with you every day? I can prove it by reading the Word of God and telling you what the Word of God says. He is with you every day. You got to tap into that. You know, it's like walking around with a bottle of water in your pocket. And you're thirsty all day long. You know, you got a bottle of water. Yeah, I know I got it, but I'm not drinking. You see, God is with you like that. He's a bottle of water there waiting for you to take a drink. Take a sip for good things. Hallelujah. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Go daughters are the bomb. Would you all stand with us, everybody? Let's just sing together. Y'all know this one. Sing with my girl, Amazing Grace. Sing nice and loud.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Sandy, God bless you. She doesn't want to be known as the miracle lady, but you know. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it in all my heart. Give him praise if you believe it. So I'm seeing these mountains, and I'm seeing the colors change, and I'm seeing the rivers and the water. And it's just amazing. And then I realize when we say that, on earth, as it what? Can you imagine how heaven is? How beautiful. Because God created something on earth as it is in
heaven.
I believe it.
Yep.
You don't have to believe it that way. But God says so, and I'm going to trust God. I'm sorry. I love you so much, but I'm not going to trust you. Not going to. On earth as it is in heaven. Oh my God, it's going to be more beautiful than you can imagine. Because earth is pretty beautiful. Amen. You all be seated now. You can all relax. And I have a confession to make.
Oh.
Last week at the end of the sermon, at the end of church, whenever somebody yelled out three times. And I didn't. I heard them. But I didn't know what they were yelling for. We have a closing prayer in your bulletin. And I'm the one that gave Marilyn to put it in there, and they yelled out the word, and I didn't get it. So we didn't do it. So don't let me get away with it this week, amen? Thank you guys. You guys are good. On earth, Brother Steve, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Amanda, can you imagine that? I mean, everything that we see here is on earth as it is in heaven. Oh my God. Imagine how beautiful the fish are up here, Brother Chip. By the way, everybody say hi to Brother Chip all the way from Florida. What a beautiful day in church. It's Lily's birthday, everybody. Y'all have your bulletins ready for the responsive reading. What a beautiful day I am. My heart is so full right now. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Yeah, fortress of defense. Right? Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Brothers and sisters, let last week be food for you. God hears our prayer. Oh my God, he does. Yes. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Beautiful responsive reading, Marilyn. This is a beautiful Psalm 31. You can look in your Bible or keep your bulletin handy. You can look in your Bible and find that again. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Whew, I needed that. All you who hope in the Lord. Wow, what a beautiful. 2 weeks ago it was Bert, and that got us ready for Sandy. Sandy, we love you. It's so good to see you. You've strengthened our hearts. Because of our prayers, you're the testimony of our answered prayers. So thank you, Lord. I didn't do the quiz last week, and I have the quiz right here. And for our friends, again, remember, this is multiple choice. You don't have to worry about getting the right or wrong answer. But we like these little quizzes just to get you into the what? Into the Bible. I think that's what it's all about. If you acknowledge the Son, you have what, according to John? If you acknowledge the Son, you have what? You have wisdom, you have blessings, or you have the Father. 1 John 2:23. If you acknowledge the Son, you have what? How many think you have wisdom if you acknowledge the Son? How about blessings if you acknowledge the Son? How about the Father if you acknowledge the Son? Wow. If you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father. That's awesome. And listen, I tell you all the time, but these are promises from the Bible, amen? You might say, I never read the Bible, I don't know, but these are promises from the Bible. I want to stand on the Word of God because the Bible tells me what? That I will be with my loved ones. How many times I say that? Week after week, but that's where I stand. I love some folks who have left us, and I want to see them again, and the promise of the Bible is I will. That's it, amen? The resurrection, that's it. Without that, I'm believing on nothing. But I want you to know the Word of God and have that in your heart. That's all. That's what I'm trying to say. If you want things in your life the way the Bible said, then just follow them a little bit. Why does the world not know us? Christians. The Bible says in 1 John that the world does not know us. Why? Because the world doesn't know Jesus. Because there's sin in the world, or because there's hate in the world? Why does the world not know us? How many because the world does not know Jesus? How about because there's sin in the world? Amen. How about hate in the world? There's hate in the world. That's why they don't know us. It's really, to know us, one has to know Jesus. Amen. Why does the world not know us? Because the world does not know Jesus. And just like that man, he might be a beautiful man. He was talking about Yellowstone, and I was looking at the pictures, but he never once gave God any glory. Of all the miracles that he was showing us about how the earth just redoes it over and over, and how the trees feed other things, and the grass feeds other things, he never once acknowledged God. It's that simple. They don't know us because they don't know Jesus. How long a journey was it from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem? How long a journey was the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem? Hey, how many know they had to walk everywhere back in the day? They didn't have Uber drivers. They could ride on a camel, but anybody here, oh, you rode on a camel, Lily. I saw you with my own eyes. Right? We went to the fair with Lily and Zippy, and Lily wanted to ride on a camel, so Zippy went, y'all know Zippy, right? And they got up to the camel, and the guy said, you guys can't ride together. You weigh too much. And I'm thinking, what? No, it's the truth. I don't want to say nothing, but the person that got off the camel before they rode weighed double what they weighed. Right, Billy? They said he couldn't ride with you. So how long a journey was the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem? Was it a full day? Was it 2 hours? How long the journey? How many think it was a full day from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem? How about 2 hours? Was it 2 hours? Or 2 days? 2 days, we get 2 days? It was a Sabbath day, one day. About 8 hours. If you walked. Six and a half hours if you rode the camel. This is interesting. Let's see how you do. On what day did the apostles first speak in tongues? On what day? Was it resurrection day when Jesus was resurrected? Was it Passover or was it Pentecost? On what day did the apostles first speak in tongues? How many think resurrection day when Jesus was resurrected? How about Passover, the Passover? How about Pentecost? Give me a shout of praise. You look Pentecost. Pentecost means what? 50. How many days after the resurrection was Pentecost? 50 days. You got it. Yeah, give me. This was a good one because you could read this in 2 Chronicles. When Hezekiah heard that Sennacherib had invaded Judah, what did he do to the water supply? Sennacherib was the king and he invaded Judah, and Hezekiah was the king in Judah. But when Hezekiah heard that Sennacherib had invaded Judah, what did he do to the water supply? Did he block it? Did he reroute it? Or did he poison it? What did he do to the water supply? It's a great story to read. It's interesting. How many think he blocked it? He blocked the water supply. How about rerouted it? He moved the water supply. How about that he poisoned the water supply? Ooh. Oh. Shelly, you're really mean. He blocked it. He had to take care of the water supply because they all needed what?
Water.
Well, that's a quiz for today. Amen. Give yourself a praise again. You guys are good. Sit back and relax and have a good time and enjoy yourself. Say hi to your neighbor and let's have some fun in God. Fun. We're going to have fun in the Lord. Amen. I know one spot you guys are going to get really mad at me. Deuteronomy 18. Let me read a little bit. Starting with verse 9. Listen. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Wow. Lot honor, amen. Nobody should be among you who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, I'll explain that in a minute, or one who practices witchcraft, you all understand that, amen, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. They are what? Abominations to God. And what shall we do with them? Stay away, amen. And it says, there should not even be found among you. I'm reading the word. You shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. How many understand that? All right, thank you. Inside of you today is something you may not realize. It's easy not to at times because you have a busy life, because you have other things you're thinking about. But inside of you is the gift of gifts. Power, strength, wisdom, comfort, knowledge, and peace inside of each and every one of you. By the way, how many love Jesus? Taking Jesus in your hand? And I know. Inside of you is the gift of gifts. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit. When I was a young man, they talked about the Holy Ghost. I had no idea. God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, the sign of the cross, which is. And they said, Holy Ghost. I didn't know. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of who? Christ. God. And that Spirit is inside of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So, I read that to you about witchcraft and sorcerers. Amen? Let me read it again. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son pass through the fires, or his daughter, one who practices witchcraft or soothsayer, or an interprets omens or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells or a medium or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Why? Not because it's not true. Amen? Not because, listen to me, you got to think of it. Not because it's not true, Jim, but because it what? It is true. God would not warn us or command us to do something that had no meaning or no value. Amen? You would never tell your kid not to do something that had no meaning. And God would not tell us to do something that had no value in our lives. And he tells us not to do those things, not because they're not real. Why? Because they're what? Real. Amen? Man has a natural curiosity. You understand what you say? Amen? Thank you. Man has a natural curiosity. It is in our nature. Sister Faith, right? We are born with a nature to do what? Sin. That's what I believe. I don't believe we're born in sin, but we're born with a nature to sin. It is in our name. And man has a natural curiosity. And it says this in Luke, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That doesn't leave much left, amen? Amen?
Amen.
Say amen, come on. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. There's not much left. Okay? And it says in Philippians, my God shall supply all your need. What's left? Nothing. Not much left. You need to accomplish whatever your hands are doing. Your need, amen, is to accomplish whatever your hands are doing. You say, well, Pastor, you didn't say anything about your hands. I said, yes, I did. All your strength, where's your strength from? Your hands. So whatever you put your hands to, whatever job you have, if you do it unto God, everything in your hand, everything that you create, whatever you do, will be blessed by God, and it will accomplish what your heart wants, amen? And because the Holy Spirit is inside you, leading you, if you love God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength, he's saying that you shall be blessed. You shall be blessed. Hands in your strength. Whatever you're building, whatever you're doing, whatever God has led you to do. So I ask you this. Do you trust God or do you trust yourself? Isn't that simple? Remember, the Bible says the simplicity that is Christ. That's pretty simple, amen? Do you trust God or do you trust yourself? Here's another thing. In Hebrews, it said, it is impossible for God to lie. Who believes that? I do. It's impossible for God to lie. So he has told us something, and it's impossible. And he told us for our safety, for our good, for our blessings, for our family, for all that we love. He has told us not to do these things, and he's told us not to do them for those that you love and for yourself and for your home. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on. The better we can do this is to our gain. God is the giver of all good things, and that's in the book of James. It's in your bulletin. God is the giver of all good things. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is for you. I'm preaching today for you and for me. All your gain is in God. If you see it that way, if you believe God that way, so everything he's telling us to stay away from is for our good. Amen. How many times do you, well, the Father said, well, I'm only doing this for your own good. Well, God the Father said, I'm only telling you this for your own good. So the better that we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, all our strength, the better we can do this is what? To our gain. God is the giver of all good things. Yes. So it says in verse 10, it said, make his son or daughter pass through the fire. I said I would explain it. Let me explain this horrible thing. Moloch, M-O-L-E-C-H, was the god of the Canaanites, to whom children were sacrificed by burning. They sacrificed children to the god Moloch by burning them to the stake. They burned children as a sacrifice, sons and daughters. Now, I don't want to get into how many children we have sacrificed in this nation or all over the world. I don't want to get into that right now. I just want you to think of all those little babies that never had a chance to be little babies. Is that sacrificing the babies to another god? You decide that, if that's how your heart is, amen? But if, here's the thing you need to know. It's not what man thinks. It's not what your pastor thinks. It's what God thinks. And if God thinks that what we're doing to little babies is sacrificing them to another god of self, then that's between you and God, amen? But you start thinking about that. There's a little baby inside, amen? That's all it is. It's not a horse. It's not a puppy. It's not a cat. It's not a rabbit. It's a baby, amen? And that's the truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, good. So it's not what I think or you think. It's what God thinks. And if you want to be along with God, you have to start thinking like that. That's simple. God made it simple. Now it says in verse 10, practice witchcraft. That's basically contact with demonic or dark spirit world. How many know that there's a demonic world, amen? I believe that because we believe in angels, we have to believe in demons. How many know Satan was an angel, amen, who fell away, so he's a demon? We'll get into that again. But to discern the will of the gods, Discern means to find out or discover. With witchcraft, you want to find out from another god what's the answer. What should I do? Oh, tell me what I should do, where I need to go. In demonic or dark spiritual world, to discern the will of the gods. Sometimes they use devices. How many know that's true? They use those cards, or they look at a crystal ball. They use all those, or a Ouija board. Anybody know, ever see a Ouija? So they use all these things, and these are devices, and they're calling on who? Dark. They're calling on darkness, so they're calling on who? They're calling on Satan and his angels. Get the answer, amen? I understand sometimes you're desperate, and you want that. I'm just giving you the truth today. To find out or discover what I should do, they're calling on Satan and his workers. They're calling on that and saying, well, maybe God will. You see, they're calling on that to get your eyes off of who? God. You say, well, they gave me good advice. It really worked. That took your eyes off of God. And you're going to start relying on that. And let me tell you, I got it written down in my notes. Satan is the father of all lies. Amen. And a lie starts with trying to believe that he's not a liar. And Ezekiel, it talks about something I enjoyed. It's called the whirling of arrows. Where's David? I've ever heard that. The whirling of arrows. What does that mean? Well, when the king was somewhere and they're going down the road and they didn't know which road to take, or he didn't know what to do, he would take his quiver full of arrows and he would whirl it like this. And the first arrow that fell out had a sign which way he should go. Well, that arrow fell out, so we should go that way. Or that arrow has a different point of tip. And that's how they decided what to do. They call it a whirling of arrows. That's called superstition, amen? That's called sorcery. Am I alone? No. We believe in satanic powers. We have to. Witchcraft. How many ever heard of Wicca? Remember that was a big thing for a while? Wicca? Witches, white and dark magic, contacting other spirits. That's what it is, amen? It's just contacting other, whether for help or for advice or for guidance. That's what people do it for, amen? But you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. We're going to get more into that in a minute. But these people are contacting other spirits for what? For advice. Should I do this? How many have the eight ball? Remember the old eight ball and he asked you the question and turned it over? That was fun, right? Well, people are doing that for real. They are. So I ask you this, simply, is it worth the risk? And then at what cost is that risk? It says in Exodus, he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Notice that the word God is plural. God is saying, you shall have no other gods before me. But if you're dealing in witchcraft or sorcery, you're having what before him? Another God. Now you got it. Even Christians are searching for answers, being led by feelings, not by faith, Brother Jim. Amen. You see it all the time. People are like, well, this is how I feel about it. I don't care how you feel about it. How does God feel about it? That's what I'm up here trying to tell you. How God feels about it, not how you feel about it. God, I love Father Dolan in New York City at the St. Patrick's. I love him. But if he started telling me how he feels about it, I'd say, wait a minute. How does God feel about it? Amen? That's all I really want to know, the simplicity. Even Christians are searching for answers. But here's the truth. How many want the truth? It starts at the pulpit. That's why I'm telling you. It starts right here. But the answer comes from the Word of God. What I'm preaching to you is what? The Word of God. I'm preaching the Bible to you. Amen? That's what I'm doing. That's it. When your foundation is in God and grounded by the Word of God, steadfast, you can't make me doubt him. Anybody ever say that? I was going to sing that song today. We changed it. You can't make me doubt him. I don't know how you are, but I hope that you're all getting there, that you can't, nobody can make you doubt Jesus and the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. When you do that, it makes it impossible to be led astray. That's the truth. When you know the Word of God and you believe God and that's what you're following, it almost makes it impossible for you to be led astray. Why? You say, that's not what God said. Wait a minute. You changed something. I want to know what God said. And my job, my only job, My only job. Jesus gave me one job. Anybody want to guess what that is in the Bible? Preach the word. That's my only job, to preach, to study it all week long, to dig in it, to write it out, and to learn it and study everything that I have, and then come here on Sunday and give you a message from the Word of God. That's all I got. Hallelujah. The Word of God. When your foundation is in God, you're grounded by the Word, you're steadfast, you can't be moved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Being led astray is not because of God or the Bible. Let me tell you again, because people blame God or the Bible and they give God. No, it's when you're led astray, you can't blame God. How many know that's true? I hope you all do. Because in Hosea it says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Elder Nancy, you read that before? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you don't know what God says, you can be destroyed, and you can't blame God because you have this book. You have the church that is supposed to teach you the Word of God and stand on the foundation. Amen? You're supposed to have that, and you're supposed to be built up in that and building yourself up. Hallelujah! A church full of Bible readers is a church on fire, strong together, connected at the hip. We can never know enough about the Bible. Can I get an amen? We can never know enough about the Bible. I don't care who you are. We can never know enough. And it's amazing to me how one page understood. Anybody read a page and you think you understand it, and you do, right, Brother Jim? Listen to this. It's like a river of life. Read it again and God can show you something new. You read one page from any of the books in the Bible, one page, and say, I really get it now. I really understand that now. And you go away saying, I understand that page, and here's how God is so beautiful. You can go back the next day and read that page again and say, well, I didn't see that. Because the Word is alive. This book is, it's worth looking into. So again, God has called me to do one thing. That's all. Preach the Word. For me to read it, for me to study it, to dig in, to trust it, and then teach it to you on Sunday or Bible study. That's it. And listen to what happens if you don't. Said the Word is knowledge. Reject the Word, you reject knowledge. And here's what God says to me. I will also reject you from being a priest to me. That would be, I mean, my wife. God could say to me, you're done. You're not preaching the truth. You're rejecting the knowledge. You're rejecting my word. I will reject you as a priest. Oh yeah, you might be able to come in and do something, but I'm going to reject you. Wow. You see, that's the truth. All right, here it comes. I warned my wife. Don't get mad at me. Soothsayers. That's not a word. Say that with me. Soothsayers. It's called astrology. No? Astrology is what? Predictions. Where? Oh, you're going to hate me. You're going to hate me. First, we don't need spiritual help from those who claim to have special powers, from stars, from planets, and from lucky numbers. Amen. Y'all got lucky numbers? Come on. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You don't need, this is the truth, okay? You don't need spiritual help to discover what you should do. Why? Because you're indwelled with what?
The Spirit.
The Holy Spirit of God indwells. You don't need any other help. Love God with all your heart and mind and your soul, you know, and all your strength. For we have, what we have is far greater, yet we fail to truly tap into the power, the leadings. What we possess is a gift given to us from God Himself. Yet again, we look for something else because we have a natural curiosity. Sometimes we want what? The easy road. We want the keys. Oh, I got all these numbers right here. I'm going to do all these numbers. I love this. What they they say is easy to understand, yet none of us have any idea how it works. So you're going to the, and you're going to go, we pass by these psychic places that have a psychic, and we pass by, and one of us always said, well, they knew we weren't stopping. But it, see, it's easy to understand, yet we truly have no understanding how it works. You don't need to have it, because you have the what? Holy Spirit indwelled in you from who? All right. You have signs and numbers, stars, flattery. How many know people can be flattered, right? Y'all can be flattered. Can I get an amen? We went by this store and there was these people in it, and a cosmetic store, and they got a little gift they're going to give you. And you walk by, and the first thing they said to my wife, oh, you're very pretty. I said, yep, got you. Step one, there you go, flattery. And oh, thank you. That's it. The door's open. $200 later. No. Flattery. So easy to open up. Some people, I'm not saying any, some people, you don't even know. You talk to somebody because they promise you good luck. They promise you wealth or sharing or wants or needs or home or family, that you start pouring out all your secrets to this person. Because if you tell them all your secrets, they're going to give you some good news. How many know it's true? People do it all the time. They want good news. So they go. And here's the kicker. They have to tell the person they're talking to their whole life. Oh, my husband did it. Oh, my wife did this. Oh, I had a job. Oh, I did it. And here's the kicker, because they're sitting there and this person's going to give them an answer. They don't even know the person. Here's the thing with God. You don't have to tell them a thing. Listen to me. You don't have to tell God a thing, because he's been there with you every minute of every day. So you don't have to tell him what you want. You just say, Lord, help me. Lord, he already knows. I tell people, you don't need a long prayer. You don't need to go God with a long prayer, because he's going to be sitting there and say, yep, I already know. So you go to God and you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, and you don't have to tell God your secret. But people go to people they don't know and tell them everything, and wonder at the end of the conversation, they wonder, how do you know so much about me? You just told them everything. They give that information to a stranger. They call them fortune tellers. How many know that's true? So I would just say this, because we've all done that. We've all been there. There are, I looked it up, and there are tens of thousands of astrologers in the world, in our country. Tens of thousands of astrologers. That's fine. That's fine. And they're, the horoscope, anybody ever look at your horoscope? They're in 75% of the newspapers in our country have a little column with the horoscope. How many read it? I read it. I look at it. I look at it. I don't close it and go on running on it. But I mean, that's what we have a nature, a natural curiosity to see. You ever get a fortune cookie from the Chinese restaurant? You have to open it up. You have to open it up. And it's got numbers in it. Thank God to forget those numbers for the most part.
Don't be picking on me.
God is so good. You know, sometimes it's so easy preaching the word because it's fun. It's reading all this together. What we have, the world does not understand. I had a question for you in the quiz today. The world does not know us because they don't know who.
Jesus.
So what we have, that Holy Spirit, the world does not understand. So don't be surprised if they don't know what you're talking about. That's fine. You can lead them to God. In fact, you're supposed to open all kinds of doors, say, God bless you, or you know, come to church, or let's, you know, anything that you can help a friend with. How many want to help their friends? Sometimes the best advice you can give somebody who's sad is come to church. Come to a Bible. Just come somewhere where you're going to hear good news. Don't turn on the TV. I don't care what station you watch, you're not going to hear good news. Because everybody wants to be the first to give you bad news. Praise the Lord. So it's foolish at best and dangerous at worst. What we have, the world doesn't understand. What we have waiting for us to tap into. No need to explain our hearts, beg or plead, and this is the bread. You want a good one? How many want another good one? It costs you nothing. You're going to pay that person. You go into that place and you get your fortune told, you're going to pay them money out of your pocket. Maybe $100. But you had that $100 to spare to get good news from somebody you don't know. You had that $100 saved in your wallet, but you're going to give it to somebody you never met, and then tell them all your life, and then they're going to say, this is what you need to do, and you're going to walk out there saying, this is what I need to do. It don't cost you nothing but God. What part of that's hard? All you need to do is love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. There's nothing left. So let's just, we're almost done now, I promise. 1 Timothy says this, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Is that true? Absolutely. Did Paul nail it? Absolutely. That's prophecy. And your Bible, and so the prophecy is true. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Spirit expressly tells you, the one inside of you, that in latter times some will depart from the faith. That's true. Now, in Corinthians, Paul tells us this, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Your Spirit searches all things. You don't have to hide from your Spirit. You don't have to remember the things you did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the things you said. He knows all that. But he's searching deeper for good things. Amen? God is the giver of all good things. So that Spirit inside of you wants to give you what? Good things. How much? Free. Because you believe in the Son. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is just real. And you're sealed with it. What does that mean? You can never lose it. It's sealed in you by God. You can try to throw it away, but you're not going to do it. Because God put it there because you believe in the Son. Thank you, Lord. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What? For we do not know what we shall pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Thank you. 8:31 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So I ask you these two things, church. Do you trust man or do you trust God? According to Philippians, church, here we go. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give him praise. Inside of you. You don't need to go to anybody else for any advice. That spirit's inside of you will lead you. When you go the wrong way, I tell you for sure that I know, they'll put a wall up. You start going the wrong way, you're calling on him, and you say nope. And there's nothing you can do to get through that wall. But sometimes he'll open the door so wide you can't miss it. And that's God. God performs miracles every single day for his children. And it costs you nothing except to love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That scripture is in your bulletin. Take that bulletin home and read all those scripture readings and read them over and get them in your heart. Thank you. Now we do the Lord's Supper. Lord, we simply remember what Jesus did for us on that cross. That's what we do. Just simply remembering, we can't be there, we can't see it, but we believe and we know and we do this for him, in remembrance of him, for what he did for us once for all. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, said, this is my body being torn for you. And he told them to just eat and do this in remembrance of him. Church, in Jesus' name. Took the wine, poured it into a cup. Said, this represents my blood that will be shed for you. The blood of Christ. Said, for the remission of your sins, I will do this once for all. Now you all pass this around and take a drink and do this in remembrance of me. Forgive us for our iniquities, Lord. Cleanse us. Cleanse our soul and our spirit, Lord. Fill us with you, Lord. Fill us with the goodness that you are. Thank you for the miracles in this church. Thank you that we could see the miracles in this church. That we could believe the miracles in this church, the testimony. Because we're standing on your word. We're preaching the word, telling the truth. When you tell the truth, you don't have to change your story. When you tell somebody the truth, it comes back to you exactly the same way over and over and over again. When you tell a lie, you have to remember how you told it. You have to remember this and that and the other and get the right sequence. But when you tell the truth, it just comes out. We're telling you the truth today. That the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will pray for you. He will do all things for you because you love the Son. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bible study. We'll pray for both.
Prayer
for
the flight. Yes.
Well, you know, it's being on the plane. Is stressing. But they're coming here from Arizona. We'll pray for traveling mercies. We all need traveling mercies whenever you get anywhere, go anywhere. So we'll thank you, Anne-Marie. We'll all pray for that. Thank you, Lord. It costs you nothing, church, to go to God. You don't have to tell him your life story. You don't have to tell him why you're praying. You don't have to tell him what you've been through. He's been right there. You just have to say, Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. God made it simple. So that we wouldn't struggle, but we have to believe. We have to have faith to believe. And the more you believe, the more faith that you have. And the more faith that you have, the more you believe. And then you start reading the Word and you see it for yourself. And when you read the Word, God can talk to you. I pray that God talks to you every day because you're talking to Him. Amen? Because you're talking to God, God will talk to you. Wow. Cost you nothing. He will pray for you, even when you don't know what to pray for. Just say, Holy Spirit, I need you to pray. That's a gift from God. We thank you for this church, all the members and all the blessings and all the miracles in this house. We thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May you all have that peace. May you all have that joy. And may you all be happy that you came to church today to hear the good news. I thank you as your pastor, and I am humbled how beautiful this church looks this morning. I give God the praise, and I give God the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. I ask God to do one more thing this morning. Bless the United States of America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my